All right. Hello, Morro Bay, and welcome to the Thursday, April 18th, 2013 edition of Public Works Advisory Board. As we go through the meeting, we're going to establish a quorum, but we want to welcome our new members. All right. So we have Debbie Owen and Jan Goldman. And so if we could hear your applause, I know we'd hear it. All right. And so with our new members in attendance, we definitely have a quorum. We are at seven members strong. So, all right. So as we get, that's called to order. And the next thing we have is a moment of silence, please, especially for the folks in Boston. All right, moving on. Next, we have any announcements or presentations. Anybody on the board have anything? No? Are you here for public comment?
No.
Okay.
No problem. I just thought I was going to get to know about the trees.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. So we have no announcements or presentations. Moving on.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
I just want to make an announcement that the City Council will be holding a special City Council meeting on April 29th, which is a fifth Tuesday, not normally meeting date, but it'll be on the study session for the new water reclamation facility. It'll be from 6 p.m., probably go for 2 to 3 hours in this room, the Vets Hall. It'll be kind of a roundtable style where we'll sit around, talk about the project, give and take back and forth questions and answers from both the council and the public. So
you're this kind of an open invitation here, Rob, for
yes,
people to get back involved and if they're interested in what's going on with the wastewater treatment plant.
Correct.
Okay. And I think, and you said Tuesday, but you meant Monday, correct?
Ooh.
It
all right.
I know that's what this says, but typically it would be on a Tuesday.
Yep.
We may have to clarify that, and if it is, I'll make sure I email everybody and let you know.
All right. So, folks out there, if you're watching, and there is this notice of this meeting, please look on the city.
Let me move this a little closer. Under the category of water, and it's more for my own clarification, Rob, it talks to the fact of you're pumping approximately about 30 million gallons of water a day that you're providing to the community. Is that correct on average?
Correct.
And it appears, if I remember correctly, that's about the same as your wastewater treatment plant for the city of Morro Bay. The effluent that comes from Morro Bay is about 1 million gallons a day or 30 million gallons a month. And I was just a little surprised because usually there's a difference between the water production and the effluent side because of landscaping and other matters that go on in this town. And it caught my eye only in the sense that is there other users of the wastewater treatment plant, and I'm discounting Cayucas right now, that feed into here that are maybe on individual well? Or do you follow what I mean? I feel like that you're matching your inflow and your outflow from the water in the sewer. Or is there a lot of infiltration that happens in the collection lines here in town?
Well, there is a fair amount of infiltration that we get, but we're pretty close to almost 80-85% return rate because of our high water conservation in the city. So most of the water that is used within the city goes to the wastewater treatment plant. Very little, especially during the, even though it was a little bit drier this year, during the winter months would be used for outside irrigation. So
landscaping is very minimal usage here in the
city. It is. We're probably
it just caught my eye, and I've seen them before, and I wondered if infiltration was a real issue. And I guess the reason why I brought it up is as we look at the wastewater treatment plant, and the fact that you may be pumping every bit of effluent to the new plant, would it make sense to be looking at the infiltration rates and ways to ameliorate that, if you follow what I'm saying?
We do have an I&I program, so we're doing sewer lining on a regular basis. Also, just as a our average daily flow is about 1.5 MGD for both combined Cayucas and Morro Bay. But peak wet weather flow is 8.1 MGD. So we do get in those highest rain events quite a bit of infiltration because mainly because our streets are running full also.
If I could interject, I'm sorry, for the folks at home and everybody up here, MGD is million gallons per day, correct?
Yes. Gallons per day. INI is infiltration, inflow and infiltration. So inflow would be like from the top of the manholes through the pick holes down into the sewer line. Infiltration would be when the groundwater is high. It's infiltrating through cracks in the pipes.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if the pipes may have been laying in a water table or something where it was even during the dry weather. It sounds like it's mainly in the wet weather season.
We do have a couple around town, especially the deep sewer line on the Embarcadero, depending on what the tides are like, could be underwater.
Okay, thank you. And the second one was on stormwater. And this is just more also for my clarification. You talk about the new post-construction control requirements being required under this new general permit. What exactly is involved under the new permit requirements, if you could kind of encapsulate it quickly?
It's basically using LID practices for new development is probably simply put. It'll be related to, you know, the size of the development and the impervious area. Have Damaris correct me if I get anything wrong here, because she's very intimately involved in it. But most of the projects in Morro Bay on the residential scale are small in nature and are going to be caught in the most minimal requirements of that stormwater plan, because we just don't have the big subdivisions and lot areas here in Morro Bay.
So do you see this affecting putting in new curb and gutter in different areas of the city?
No, not really. It's more of a managing your water on site.
Oh, okay. So not trying to do it in grass swales as it runs down the road so much.
We could do that.
That's kind of what's happening now.
Yeah.
But I kind of saw it as maybe precluding.
If we could ever get a grant, we'd like to try one of those green streets projects to do.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yes, I just had a couple of questions. First of all, I'm just curious to know if you internally within your department have established any kind of a tentative timeline for the wastewater treatment plant?
Yes, we have, and I don't have that timeline with me, but that went to council about a month ago. We have additional monitoring requirements, so we're proposing to add part-time staffing to fill those monitoring and reporting requirement needs that we'll have.
Okay, thanks. And last question, on the sampling, water quality sampling, I'm just curious to know what the results are and how often you do that.
We sample quarterly?
Every other month we do sampling for our waste load allocation attainment plan. And they're reported every year annually with the annual report for the stormwater plan.
And so far so good?
They're kind of all over the place sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can bring that as a separate item. We can bring back our annual report and take a look the results of basically, you know, everything that we do in the stormwater program with our annual report.
Can I ask, are you mainly doing turbidity and pHs?
This monitoring that we're doing right now is for a TMDL that we have, a total maximum daily load for the bay, and it's for pathogens.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
You finished, Marlos? Okay, Ron, you had a question?
Well, I'm just going back to page 1 here where wastewater. You have in that paragraph, April 29th, for the meeting.
Microphone, sir?
April 29th for the meeting. So that's a double check on your little memo.
Yeah, I must have gotten it right.
okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure that the clerk has the dates right, so we'll trust that it is April 29th, because that's the way we've advertised it. If that's not what we're thinking, that's what it is anyway.
Well, it says it in two places, so I'm assuming that's what it is.
Okay. Rick Sauerwein, our engineering manager and capital projects manager, he confirmed that on the website that it's April 29th also. So we've triple checked it. We're sure that it's April 29th. So that's where I'm going to be.
You put your place and your money on that one. All right. Demaris, I had a question also since you mentioned pathogen and as it's listed in the stormwater section. Could you briefly define what pathogens are? Because as I think about it, I think of any foreign thing that comes off the street that is oil, residual stuff from automobiles or whatnot.
The pathogens that we're testing for are the Bacteres and E. coli, those kind of Bacteres, those kind of pathogens. That's what the TMDL is written for Choro Creek, Morro Bay, and Los Osos Creek.
Because I know every once in a while I get people around town say, gosh, there's all kinds of stuff running into the bay. And when it says pathogen, I just wanted some clarification. I have some question also. If we can go back to page one, we talked about the fire station. It says the project is complete. Is that true?
I think there's a couple of minor change orders that they're working on, but mainly what we're doing is working on the paperwork to submit to FEMA and USDA for
I just wanted to point that out and let everyone, you know, I know we... The town knows about it, but just say it again. All right, it's done. Great. Next, on page two, talking about water. When you mentioned before, when Stephen was talking about our water conservation here in town, we've had our mandatory water conservation measures in effect for, I think, a couple of years now. And I understand the water situation going on in the state. Are we looking at continuing those just because, or are we looking to strengthen them, lessen them?
I think at this point we're this level of water conservation, this level of mandatory water conservation is serving our needs. If there were some interruption in one of our sources of supply, we would have to go to more radical water conservation. But based on projections and the annual allocation for state water, it's at 35% of the your demand, but we also purchased a drought buffer, an insurance policy. So anything above about 22%, we get all the water that we've requested. So we're good on our state water supply. We're working on our desal plant permitting and upgrades. And then also on our well fields, we're working on getting those permitted and straightened out.
Okay, that leads me to my next question. Thank you. Talking about our water treatment system, can you explain, because I see that we're getting, as Stephen was talking about before, a certain amount of water from our direct well water and our osmosis plant, and which is the brackish water reverse osmosis. Is this different than the desal plant brackish?
No, it's the same facility. We have two sets of treatment trains in there, one for treating salt water, the second set for treating water that comes out of our well fields at the bottom of the Morro Valley. If you see those wells that are kind of below.
So we'll just be keeping that up as an emergency measure.
Yeah, we'll be running it periodically to make sure it does work, but it will be our backup water supply.
Okay, and then the next, I think the last thing I had, actually no, second to the last, talking about the lift stations. The lift stations are done, correct? That's what it says?
There may be some paperwork that we're still finalizing on Lift Station 3, but it's in operation. The city's taken over the operation of the lift station. It is, in all intents and purposes, complete.
Well, the lift stations look great, and do we foresee a date someday putting that on, showing Morro Bay via video somehow?
Maybe our next Public Works Advisory Board tour, we could do that.
As possible.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, they're quite notable around town now that they're there. And then last, Ron, I'm really surprised that you didn't bring this up because you did last meeting. talking about notify me and let us know. I went and practiced on it before the meeting tonight, and I don't know if anybody else did, but I liked how the city's website, the notify me and let us know, really worked fairly seamlessly. It worked for me, and I didn't have to worry about capitals or anything. You know, you did have to, you know, but it was fairly seamless.
Well, I was in another meeting this afternoon, and I didn't get to it, but I will check it before our next meeting and come with either yay or nay.
All right.
We don't have that pothole button yet, but...
Well, that's important. By the way, the pothole I was mostly complaining about has been fixed.
Okay.
It wasn't a pothole, but I like the various criteria that you could go to the various subsections of the city in terms of streets or trees, roads, and fire or police. I thought that was useful.
And continue to refine that as more and more departments are using that and add more categories and allow you to kind of have more choices to click on and get that request to the right person.
Well,
Every once in a while, we get a police issue that shows up on our desks.
I don't know. I, for one, I was really happy at how responsive the city was since you brought it up at the last meeting, and we talked about it a few times, but it seemed to be working, so I was wanted to give out kudos to the city for doing that.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's fine. I'm sorry, it ended with me on the director's report. Did anybody else have anything to add before we move on? Okay. Moving on, there was no old business, if I remember the agenda, and we're moving on to new business, which is the review urban forest management plan. So, with that,
we have Damaris Hansen, engineering technician, and Logan Budd, engineering intern, and he's a Cal Poly forestry major, and. He is also focusing on GIS and his work. So I'm going to turn this presentation over to them. We have some slides for you to look at. And, in fact, I'm going to slide my mic in front of Logan in case he wants to speak to this, too. Thank you.
Okay. Damaris, as you guys present this, would you like to go forward or would you like questions simultaneously? How would you like it?
I guess I'm open. Whichever way is easiest for you guys, I'm open to it. So.
I kind of have...
Okay. Can I make a comment?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. I just wanted to praise you for this wonderful report. It's so thorough and professional and well done, and I was very impressed. So thank you.
I'd like to add my two bits to that, too.
Thank you. Okay, so tonight we will be discussing the Urban Forest Management Plan. This is a plan for the public trees of Morro Bay. You guys can see that. First, we'll go through the purpose of an urban forest management plan. It is to ensure that the community will be able to enjoy the benefits of trees through sustainable practices. Morro Bay's urban forest management plan seeks to achieve this by providing guiding principles and associated goals that result in specific strategies for addressing the needs of the public trees. The public trees are the trees that are located within the city's right-of-way.
So you did include all trees within right-of-way in public parks, is that correct?
For now, we have just included the trees in the commercial and downtown districts.
Oh,
Those are the trees that we inventoried.
Oh, okay. So what this shows is purely in the downtown area.
Exactly.
There were some up in North Morro Bay, I noticed.
Yeah,
there's
a stretch of along North Morro Bay. The first three lots are
commercial. Oh, okay. So the commercial section running Main Street. Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
But, however, you did identify, and I saw some of the maps in here, in terms of the soil sample, the soil map, that's for the entire city.
That was for the whole city. Yeah, that was from the NRCS, so that they include the whole city. So why Morro Bay needs a plan? The Urban Forest Management Plan discusses the makeup of the tree population through the tree inventory. It looks at the health of the trees and addresses the questions, is this the right tree for the right place?
Will be needed either to protect them from if there's disease or if someone wants to build just protection of the trees, or what do you think?
The construction part of the protection of the trees, so these are just the trees. So most of the time that would be within the property, so it would be a private tree. If it's a public tree, if you're going to remove a tree, then we still have to meet criteria of why we're going to remove it. So in the Muni Code it says if it's diseased or dying or if it's interfering with public improvements, then...
In terms of protection of the trees, does the urban forest management plan preclude another organization coming in from outside of the city, say, for instance, like the state or PG&E?
Mm-hmm.
Does the city's rights supersede them, or can they come in and just do what they want?
This plan doesn't touch on that topic. Typically, like when PG&E comes in to trim their trees and stuff, their rules, from what I understand, trump ours. So they can protect their public utility.
Now, the reason I ask is because I live on Hemlock, and one time a few years ago, a builder wanted to build a house. There's a tree there, and the tree was just there, but PG&E was shortly there cutting down the tree.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, it wasn't a danger to the tree, but then I talked to the PG&E person, and he's like, no, it was because of the power lines or something like that. So sometimes people can surreptitiously get around these things. So, but this
it may have been a private tree, though.
It was in the city's right of way. It was,
oh.
And so as I'm just asking in terms of protection of the tree, but you're saying that you think that their plan would supersede ours.
They operate under the State of California Public Resources Code that gives them certain authority to trim and remove vegetation if it's a certain distance away from power lines. You know, if the board wanted to make that recommendation, maybe we could add an appendix that kind of clarified some of these ancillary regulations and how they relate to the urban forest management plan.
I'm sorry to take all your time because you're presenting.
Okay. That's
okay. But in terms of I see the goals, I don't know if anybody else thinks like this, but I think one of the goals in terms of an urban forest management plan might be the protection of the trees, and
mm-hmm.
that might fall under that.
Mm-hmm.
I, for one, would like to see that put in, but I'm willing to.
Well, the one thing I will say, and Rob brought it up, is the fact, and I don't know, in this town, PG&E may have an easement with prior rights to the city right away, and if they do have that, unfortunately,
yeah,
city ordinance would, or the management plan would not.
That's what you're saying, Rob, right?
That they do not have prior right. But they have a franchise agreement with the city that allows them to operate, and they, the Public Resources Code section requires them to maintain vegetation clearances. You know, I've talked to the PG&E urban foresters. They're not tree cut happy. They want it. They're arborists. They want to maintain a healthy urban forest also, but they do agree with the right tree, right place. We wouldn't want to plant a redwood tree underneath their PG&E primary lines because we know it's just going to grow up into there, and they'll be hacking it off. Nobody would be happy with that situation.
Okay, well, if we could, I don't know if this is finished and you're ready to send it to council or you're looking for...
We would be looking for any input that the advisory board wants to provide. We will carry your comments on to Planning Commission, combine Planning Commission's comments, and then forward all of the combined advisory board comments to City Council when we bring this to City Council.
Okay. Well, I, for one, would like to suggest that we add, in terms of the five goals here, another goal that somehow lists or denotes protection of current trees and property, guard against damage or abuse.
Okay. So next, I'm going to go over the community input that we got. So we sent out this survey here that hopefully you can see some of it. Asked various questions on what would be important to the citizens for the trees. We asked what's the major goal that you would like to see in the plan. These were mailed out and we got a very good response. There was lots that we got back. Typically on a mailed survey like this, it's not mandatory to turn in. You don't get very many, but we received quite a few. So next we'll go through the goals of the plan. So the first goal is defining the public trees. So like I was saying, the public trees are the trees within the city's right-of-ways. And Morro Bay has very wide right-of-way.
Responsibility to remove it, or would the city do that?
Right now, the city maintains all of those trees in the residential areas. If we changed it where those became private trees, then all the responsibility would be on the
So also homeowner. Removal. And mm-hmm. would there be enforcement provisions? I mean, you'd have to force residents then to actually take care of these trees.
We would have an ordinance that would protect them, but it wouldn't force them to maintain them, to manage them. I mean, we wouldn't.
Yeah, I noticed an ordinance was the next step, and I assume these are details that would be covered in the ordinance, but I'm just curious to know where the department is coming from on some of these issues.
As Damaris mentioned, the City of Morro Bay's right-of-ways are very wide in relationship to the streets in the residential areas. And she said 60 feet wide, but most of the east-west streets are 80 feet wide in right-of-way in the down south part of Morro Bay, excuse me. Most of the trees that are in the residential areas in the right-of-way were not caused to be planted nor planted by the city. They were planted by homeowners, citizens. I got a Christmas tree, live Christmas tree, and I liked it, and I want to plant it out in front of my house. So like the large pines that we see in the south end of town, that was not a city tree planting program. The reason they're in the right-of-way is more a happenstance than anything else. I don't think when they planted those trees, that area of town was very developed. And I understand it was in the late 40s. This is one of the stories we heard. And the Boy Scouts planted these pine trees all over town. So they are not typical of city required, like you would see in a modern subdivision where you require, you know, one lollipop tree for every 50 feet of frontage and the city requires you to put that in. These are more related to somebody's private landscaping than they are to a street tree.
Yeah, no, I understand that. My concern is that some of these old trees, and I happen to live in that part of town, they're actually dangerous. The limbs are, I mean, they're very fragile, and they really do need to be maintained. And I guess I would worry if that responsibility were shifted to the residents who may or may not take care of those kind of problem trees. I noticed you said it was 15% of your, I assume, your tree maintenance budget to maintain the trees in the residential areas. And I'm just curious, I mean, that would be the trade-off, seems to me, and I don't know what that 15% is, but I guess I would like to know.
The 15% is what I was told is typically what's spent on those residential trees, mostly on removal of them. We don't have the money that we go out and maintain the trees very often. It's just mostly on removals when they are
unless someone
diseased.
Calls and says there's a tree, a limb broken off and it's going to fall on a person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If these trees are on private property, are private trees, does the owner or the person responsible for those trees, do they need a permit to take them down?
Currently, right now, they for private trees, you can remove 2 trees a year. And that's the guidelines that we have set right now for private trees.
You can remove them. Is there any requirement that you replace them?
No, there isn't. Not for private trees currently.
That 2 trees per year is for in the residential districts. In the commercial district, you need a coastal development permit to remove major vegetation, and trees are defined as major vegetation. It doesn't apply to fruit trees or diseased and dying trees. So if a tree is diseased, dying, or dead, you don't need a coastal development permit, or nor does it count against your 2 per year that you can remove. And that decision on whether it's diseased, dying, or dead, well, dead is pretty clear. But the diseased or dying is based on a certified arborist report that we require to be submitted.
I think there's also an unwritten rule that they don't do it during nesting season, also the removal of the 2 trees a year.
Actually, that's a written rule.
Oh, it is a written rule. Or, I thought it was more just, you know, out there.
Unless it is a hazard. If it's a hazard, then we make provisions to remove that tree immediately.
If I could interject, understanding all of this, I mean, I see that this can become quite cumbersome for the wrong landowner to have to remove a tree for whatever reason, for damage, and because sometimes these big pine trees, especially up in the heights, and we're talking a few thousand dollars, if that, I mean, could be more for some of these big ones. That could be somewhat that would be unfair to be go from the city's responsibility, I understand. But
remove it if it's dead. Do they also have to plant a tree? And because this is the public right of way. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just, you're suddenly making the citizen responsible for the public right of way. And then can they do anything they want there? Can they plant any kind of a tree they want if it dies? I mean, there's lots of other questions that come up when you shift that responsibility.
And the other question would be the liability if it fell on somebody's car. Is it the city or the homeowner didn't take care of it well enough? And it seems like a Pandora's box a little bit. I think one person, I don't care if it's the resident or the city, it's theirs, they own it. And I think if it's in the city right away, it would make more sense that it's the city's tree. And if it's a hazard, get rid of it or replace it in a kind you wish to have that would last. Because a lot of these are aging trees, and I think you brought it out in the report that especially those Monterey pines you see around town, they're up 60 feet, and I see them on a windy day. It creeps me watching those things, you know, they kind of hula dance.
I wanted to mention that every April, this time of year, I get something in the mail about weed abatement, and please make sure you clean your property and get everything taken care of. And I kind of was thinking along the line of the trees, that trees could maybe be mentioned. Don't forget to trim your trees or don't forget to take care of your trees. But I don't think we're talking about, you know, starting in January, everybody's going to have to take care of their own trees. I think education and communication over a period of time that, you know, eventually this is what's going to happen, and we need you to be aware of what trees are under your, you know, your care, so that they would be prepared for any changes that might be coming later.
I mean, for one, it's an excellent point, Debbie. But I kind of side, and I like Stephen's mention of the Pandora's box. I can really see some people taking care of it, doing their due diligence because they have the wherewithal and the backing, monetarily speaking, or a sense of responsibility. But I can see a great deal of room for abuse if we shift it like that. So I'm really hesitant in terms of leaving this language in there. Ron, do you have something to say?
Well, my concern is you have someone on a very fixed income. They're barely getting by. They're barely be able to buy groceries and gasoline for their car. And now you want them to spend $3,000 to fix the tree. I just think that would be the most unfair thing you could possibly put on a homeowner that's on a very limited fixed budget.
I would agree if it's a public tree. If it's on their private property, I think they're totally responsible.
So, Damaris, is there any way that we can work with that wording in that goal number one?
Well, I think we would, you know, take your recommendations on
to work with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So, goal two, enhancing the urban forest. The enhancement of the urban forest considers the life cycle of the urban forest and recognizes its dynamic natural system. So goal two would like to establish and maintain an optimal level of age and species diversity and increase the level of trees to maximize the ecosystem benefits provided by the urban forest. Goal three is protecting the wildlife. So Morro Bay is a bird sanctuary, and therefore protecting the nesting birds is essential. We would like to further define the nesting season, explore best management practices for the nesting season, and trimming trees. Goal four is education to the public on the benefits of trees. We would like to provide the public with general understanding of the value and benefits of the urban forest, and educate the residents, business owners, and the development community on best management practices, including planting and tree care. Goal five is tree conservation. Conservation of the urban forest is important to preserving the forest for future generations. The conservation efforts would include maintenance standards for ongoing maintenance of the trees. The city's urban forest should be maintained with standards that are consistent with good cultural practices. Next, we'll have Logan explain the inventory that he's done on the trees that we collected.
Okay. As part of the urban forest management plan, a complete inventory of the commercial and downtown areas was completed. That was roughly 675 trees. And at each tree, there was 25 fields inventoried. And it consisted of giving each tree a unique ID so it would be able to identify without any confusion each tree, the location of it, what street it was on, what building it was in front of. We identified the tree species, both common and scientific name. We are able to see that the Monterey pine species, a single tree, can retain over 3,000 gallons of water per year. And we got to keep in mind that the size was important because the larger trees, the blue gum, the red flowering eucalyptus, they are larger trees, much taller and much broader. So they'll be able to absorb more, and that's kind of the reason why. But it also gives you a good understanding of the current forest out there.
Is the basis you use for the amount of stormwater it can actually absorb, is that feeding it, changing the drainage pattern towards the tree, or are you just talking about the natural runoff going over the root system right now?
That was part of iTree. The software, we were able to put in the tree species and the diameter of the tree, and with that software, that it was able to give us the amount of.
Well, what I'm driving at is, you know, it doesn't absorb that much if not that much water is getting to it.
Yeah, I think it's given a perfect situation.
Oh, okay. So basically, if maybe drainage was diverted towards that tree or whatever, this is the maximum it could absorb.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
If I could also ask another question in terms of your sample size of using the business streets in the downtown area, the 652 trees. Was that a plan to do that as to get a sample size of the city and not to include the residential trees, or why were those trees only done?
It was just a sample survey and just to get it done in a matter of time first. Yeah.
The second graph is another example, and this one is roughly the same, but it's expressing it in the pounds of carbon that each tree can sequester. Also, we were able to analyze the data in ArcGIS and ArcMap in particular, and with that, we are able to create maps showing the location of every single tree within this map is for the downtown area, and so we're able to it shows, since there's a large variety in the downtown area, this map just shows the 15 most common species. And as you can see, the red flowering eucalyptus is the one green, and it's very popular in the downtown areas. But you can see where everyone is located, what blocks have more and which ones have less. Also, there's a landmark trees were surveyed into there, and that was another feature that's on the map. Also in GIS, we're able to identify and the health of an entire species, and or where a particular species grows best, how tall a particular species does. If one has deep roots, or one is more prone to lifting up the sidewalks, and so it's very valuable. One good example of how we can analyze this data now that we collected it is in North Morro Bay, there's 19 paper bark trees, and 12 of those are either fair or poor in health. And so we were able to identify that species cannot handle the high salt spray and wind that goes through that part of Morro Bay. And so from that, we'd be able to we created tree lists that could handle the those zones that have the high spray, and we'd be able to analyze the data. Furthermore, we identified the locations of empty tree wells, and that is another good part of the inventory, because we're able to, if a new planting is going to happen, we'd be able to not only identify where you could plant an open tree well, but also what tree would work good for that area. And with that, that's the end of our presentation. If you have any more questions.
So with that, once with the urban tree management plan, once you make these recommendations and then you have this booklet of the management plan for trees, who then would come to look at the management plan for trees in the city and use that? Is that for our subcommittee for trees from PWAP, or is it builders, or what?
Most of the plan would be used by the Public Services Department, the Recreation and Parks Department, and the Volunteer Tree Committee. We have a few things in there for them to help with.
Then it also could be used for citizens when they're saying what kind of trees should we plant.
Yes.
In terms of making their list of trees, they could come look at this document also. Because
sure.
You make me, that was a very good point in talking about trees that are more tolerant for mm-hmm. the various physical environmental conditions here, not just trees that are aesthetically pleasing, but people could plant for other reasons. Well, that makes a lot of sense. That was very good. Also, I had a question. Does anybody else have any questions right now?
I have.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. The one thing I wanted to ask was you have that table back in the appendix about it.
I have had with the city. Over time, I've watched the maturing of trees that have grown to be spectacular. However, during my more recent visits, I've been aware of the disappearance of some trees and the substitution of other trees of very inferior species. It's alarming and it's also a sad loss. Now, I don't know if she's an arborist, but this lady was offended by probably what we're attempting to do here is put in appropriate trees or replace trees, and she noticed that these have been replaced by inferior trees, although I'm not saying our trees will be inferior, but it's kind of interesting to me that people take such notice, such careful notice.
They take notice.
Well, in the last few years, and we have someone from the Voluntary Tree Committee here in the audience, and if he wants to talk to that, he can. But Morrow Bay, I do believe, has been with the Voluntary Tree Committee, and then Rob in the last few years with the Urban Forest Management Plan that we had with the list of trees that we had, trying to narrow that down. The city, people in the city have been trying to do that. Okay. I don't know if you wanted to talk about that, Noah, or that's not the place for it right now. Okay. Does anybody else have any comments?
Well, no, I just wondered what the next step is for this body. Are we going to take a vote on this at all, or are you just going to write up what we've essentially said here and pass it on to the City Council and the Planning Commission?
Ideally, you would come up as a board with a list of any recommended changes or additions that you would like to see to the plan and vote on that. And if that were a majority decision, we would forward those recommendations on to incorporate them into our presentation to Planning Commission, roll those recommendations together, and when we bring the Urban Forest Management Plan to Council, include everybody's recommendations to Council.
Well, I'd make a motion that we postpone making any decisions on this till our next meeting, giving us further time to review the materials that we went over this evening, and then come back to as a group and put together some recommendations that we'd like to send forward.
I don't know if we need to make a motion to do that.
Well, otherwise, it sounds like we're wanting to make some motions tonight, and I would recommend that we have more time to review it and then bring forth
what your timetable is for moving forward.
Well, there's no hard time schedule in moving this forward. It's a goal to get done. We would like to move it along as quickly as the process needs to be to get it the right plan for Morrow Bay, not just a plan that will sit on a shelf and we'll revisit this again in another few years and do it over again. We're hoping to do it right and be able to use the plan.
One thing I would like to do, Ron, is have a little discussion of what we do have consensus on, try and get some of that done tonight if we're going to continue it, so that when we come back next time. One of the things I heard, and maybe I'm wrong, but I kind of felt there was a consensus over the fact, a concern of private citizens having to take care of trees in the public right-of-way.
And I wanted a clarification on that.
Yeah. I think Ron was concerned that somebody, older person could be held hostage to having to trim and take care of a public tree because the city saying that tree has to remain and it could become an ongoing maintenance. I have concern from a liability standpoint of who's at fault when that tree falls over and hits a car and kills somebody. I just want to get a general feel from the rest of the group what their thoughts are on that particular item that we were talking about. Ron, you could start if you like.
Well, I just feel that that's a really overstepping the bounds to make a citizen responsible for a public tree. The lawsuits that could come out of that could be enormous. Someone gets hurt with a public tree that falls. We have an ordinance in place that says the citizen's responsible, and you have someone suing a resident who has limited funds, and they lose their house and everything that they've got because of a public tree.
So if I could interject real quick, following along what's going on, one of our concerns right now, and let's see and do what Stephen has suggested along with what's going on. One idea is in goal number one, which is liability. And I'm not moving forward here. We're just going to establish to see if we have enough to do it tonight or we postpone this for future. So one is in goal number one, talking about the liability and the responsibility shifting in the residential areas from city's public right-of-way from the city to public citizens.
The city attorney check into that. And
okay,
find out.
So that's one question. Next for me, in terms of I would like to really see an additional goal established. Right now there are five.
As Rob brought up, the utilities do have certain, you know, ways
well, no, we
to
would
supersede
have to,
it.
That's what you're saying, Rob. Even if we put this goal in here, the utilities could come in, but that might give us a little bit more recourse in saying, hey, what are you doing? And I do agree with you, Rob, talking about there are very well-intentioned people working for that.
Right, and I think under goal five, if they want to just expand on it a little bit,
okay,
to cover that aspect.
So we could in terms of making our recommendations tonight, but I'm still trying to establish, do we want to, by making, if you kind of look at me, should we keep going tonight, or would you like, Ron's recommendation was to postpone.
I'd like to follow Ron's recommendation.
Okay. So, Ron, do we need a motion for that?
I think what we would like to see is if Ron did make a motion to continue.
Right.
If
we need
to get
a second
on that
and
a vote, and
all right, so let's go. Ron, would you make your motion again?
My motion is that we postpone making any major decisions with this tonight, giving us a little bit more time individually to review it and to take into consideration the report that was given to us, and then come back at our next meeting ready to vote. Or make our recommendations at that time in full and send forth to the city to go through the process.
Second, we have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Could I have a clarification? You said to continue it. Are we going to, that means continue working on these goals that they're listed, or are we going to add the extra goal that we want? When you asked to continue it, does that mean continue it just like it's written in the goals that we got tonight, or can we add that other goal for clarification?
Okay, what I'm recommending is that we don't sort of
do any sort of action tonight.
Any action tonight on it, other than we've discussed it, gives us a chance to further evaluate it by ourselves, come back at the next PWAB meeting, have a little further discussion, and then make our recommendations at that time, which would be more clear. We'd had time to study it. I'm not saying postpone it for 6 months. I'm saying postpone it just one meeting, just to give us a little further chance now that we've heard their information, and then come back to, okay, we'd like to fine-tune five, or we'd like to do this or that. It could be very simple, but we would just have a little bit more time to consider what we're doing, so that when we do move forward with our recommendations, we're clear and we've had time to think about it.
Ron, I could go. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, are we going to have discussion after there's been a motion?
Yeah.
Discussion,
fine, yeah.
After there's a motion and a second?
Why don't we hold off the motion till the after we have
over.
The discussion? Is
well,
kind
usually
of
you make the motion, second it, then discuss it.
Right.
And,
oh, okay.
We've had a motion, we've had a second.
Yep.
Let's discuss it.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Well, I needed some clarification.
Right.
Because on my earlier statement, when public trees are defined as being in the right-of-way, which most property owners continue an extension of their property. If I plant a tree in the city's right-of-way, I'm responsible for it.
if I buy a house and there's a giant pine tree that's in the right-of-way and I build my house around that, then I think the city's responsible for it. Is that correct? I mean.
And that's what I do believe in terms of talking about the can of worms, is that we do. On one hand, you're absolutely right. If I plant that tree and it grows, and I'm responsible for it. But then it happens if I leave and I sell the house, then the responsibility then falls on the person who bought the house.
We're talking about grandfathered trees.
Yes, but then
excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Yes.
There was a motion and a second. The discussion is really supposed to be just about the motion, not about the entire.
You're absolutely right.
That's why I was hoping to hold off on the motion. Let's discuss it, get some work out of the way tonight, and then.
All right.
Ron, looking at that, would you consider holding your motion for another 15, 20 minutes?
Well, you can vote the motion down, and I can resubmit.
No problem. All right. We have a motion on hand. We have a second. All those in favor? Okay, we have the motion does not carry. So we move on to discussion.
Bring it back, Ron, later.
Yeah, and that's totally fine. So right now, two recommendations that I would like to put ahead in terms of the discussion is talking about including in Goal 5, tree conservation protection for the current trees and current property owners, guard against damage and abuse. I would like to have that included. Also, I would like to talk about taking out of goal number one, shifting the responsibility to the landowner.
I fully agree with you on that.
In terms of the things I would like to be added to the goals, that's what I see. So anybody
I'd like to ask Rob a question real quick. If somebody would think you need to enforce that encroachment permit and only take on trees that you truly want to maintain.
But following along with that, then the onus, and I think in terms of complaints from the city, in terms of the city responding to people saying, I forget how you mentioned it a number of times, Rob, in terms of complaint-driven. Someone has to call the city and say, this tree's here. And then you would go back and say, that tree was not planted, and we can then take it out?
Yeah, I see it as almost impossible enforcement based upon the staffing that we have. I don't know that it's a huge problem right now. I think it's more of a problem of I'm not sure where the right-of-way is. I want to plant a tree.
Right.
There's a lot of wide right-of-way in town. And it goes where it's convenient for the tree to be, makes sense for the tree to be. Sometimes it's in the right-of-way, sometimes it's not. Sometimes we have a few that are right on the line, and then it becomes a matter of, you know, whose tree is it?
And just to follow up, if you were to proceed with this recommendation, what would the enforcement powers be then to make sure that citizens actually did take care of trees in the public right-of-way?
There are a few cities that have this type of provision in their regulations existing. This isn't reinventing the wheel by any means. And it is typically complaint-driven. It's usually a matter of clearance over the right-of-way. The garbage truck will hit it, and they'll complain to the city and say, it's too low, it needs to be trimmed, or that the transit vehicles can't get through, or the fire vehicles can't get through. It's mainly complaint-driven. I don't know of any city that has this, that has an active tree enforcer that goes around inspecting trees.
I would assume that would be defeating the purpose.
Yeah.
You'd spend your 15% that you're currently spending on maintaining those trees, enforcing this new.
Other cities have, if I might interject myself into the discussion, since I already have. For example, the city of San Luis, they have a tiered maintenance plan. The trees in the downtown and commercial area get a higher level of maintenance than the trees in the residential area. So, that's how the city of San Luis Obispo manages their urban forest is they highly manage and do active irrigation of the trees in the downtown. The trees in the residential areas are for the ones that don't have homeowners associations, are generally maintained by the property owners, but the city does come through on a 5 to 10 year basis, inspect and do major prunings of those trees. And we have done that when the city was a little flusher with funds, done more maintenance in the residential areas. And it's not unheard of for property owners to be responsible for public things in the right of way. In fact, the California Streets and Highways Code has a provision to, if we have a local ordinance, to require property owners to maintain stuff in the right of way.
Yeah, and I want to add that we have a large Monterey pine, and it's in the public right of way, and we do pay to trim it regularly because we feel an obligation to do that. But I'm more concerned about the people that maybe can't afford it and don't do it, and then it becomes a dangerous hazard. And that's what concerns me more, and the liability issue then of what the city is responsible for. And that's why I'm not in favor of that provision.
Do we have any other suggestions?
I have a question for Logan. Did you provide, is this part of your presentation, the tree inventory? Is that what you put together? The appendix?
In the appendix?
Uh-huh.
In the appendix we put some information that, yeah, I did put some in the appendix.
Because at the back of it there's quite an extensive few pages, several 10 or 20 pages, talking about tree planting procedures. And one of the things it says in here is that the tree planting may only be by residents, can only be done after obtaining a permit issued by Public Services Department. But, Ron, you're saying that in all the time you've been here, that's never been enforced, that people can just, they don't have to get a permit? That was why I asked the question earlier.
I've never seen a permit, anybody come in and ask for a permit, but we don't have an active enforcement that goes out and looks for newly planted trees in the right of way and rips them out of the ground.
So then my question was to Logan or to you, Rob, were these tree planting procedures, are these what already exist for the city, or are these what is you're suggesting that we do?
A lot of those came from, we acknowledge that everybody knows about it right away, and is it explained to you when you become a citizen of this town, when you build a house? Is it out in the building permit? Is it out in the planning department? Is there somebody saying, and oh, by the way, if you want to plant a tree out there, you're going to need a permit? I mean, is there any communication about this to the public?
I saw it in my title report where my property lines were and in relationship to the rights of way. But I might be a little different than most people. You know,
if you have a liability of cost and liability of injury, it seems to me that this would be a pretty important thing to let everybody know about. I mean, you know, that you do have a right of way and you are responsible, and that tree, you know, is going to be there forever, maybe, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, this is not an existing regulation. This would be a proposal in the plan, and that's one of the purposes of this, why we're here visiting you folks, is we're on television being broadcast to the community. We're airing this out. It's now published on our website so that we can receive more public comment. That's why we're bringing it to Planning Commission ultimately before we get it to City Council.
Rob, one question I had in here, it did talk about maybe in 2016 that'd be followed with a private tree ordinance, I think, somewhere in your verbiage of this. And at that point in time, once you have that ordinance in place, you may have permits required in order to place trees on property. Do you see that as part of what that ordinance would entail? Because at that point in time, then maybe the property line can be established prior to planting that tree. You know, they go out and have it checked to see where it's actually at. I know what Rob's saying. You don't go out and tell people where their right-of-way is without actually doing a survey. That's required. You know, otherwise, you could be misrepresenting the property. Has anybody even looked at where that private tree ordinance site?
No, we haven't, and I've never really seen a private tree ordinance where you regulate the planting of trees. It's more of removal of trees. You know, I think most cities want to encourage the planting of private trees and not get make an impediment to to planting.
Yeah, but I guess my real concern is, it sounds to me like anybody could go plant anything anywhere right now in your right-of-way, on their property.
Well,
and I don't have a problem on their property. I really don't, unless it's 2 feet off the fence and you're going to impact your neighbor. But the out in the public right-of-way, I don't know why. I feel like there should be probably a little bit more control
mm-hmm.
of what falls into that right-of-way. I can appreciate you're understaffed. I really can. I've been in towns like this where, you know, that does occur, you know. But at the same time, if you're not somehow trying to at least the attempt to, you know, make it happen and put a little teeth into it, so that people won't do it willy-nilly, or at least find out if it's okay or whatever they're mm-hmm. trying to do.
If I could interject, Stephen, I kind of see it, I see what you're saying, and then I want to add on to it in terms of the volunteer tree committee that we have here in town and the public works department in terms of going out and planting trees. That small committee has established a list of trees to be planted, and then for the city, because the thing is, I understand what you're saying. We don't want necessarily public people going out willy-nilly and planting anything. However, the city, on the flip side of that, I see that in the last few years that they're very purposeful in terms of establishing this list of trees that the Volunteer Tree Committee has established and then planting those trees.
Yeah, now, they want to take care of what they can take care
totally.
Of.
Totally. And then I see what you're saying in terms of what's stopping a citizen from just, I like this tree and I want to plant it. Now, then I guess that would come up with in terms of if I'm hearing everything that we're saying over here with staff, and what we're saying is that it would take another extra citizen saying, listen, that tree's not going to work here, I know that. And instead of going out and ripping it up, they could report it and complaint driven to have it taken out. Is that where you're leading?
Well, not really. We're asking Rob to basically take on all trees in the public right-of-way, but we're putting no enforcement in the fact anybody could throw out a tree tomorrow in the public right-of-way, and it becomes Rob's responsibility. So I have a problem with our goal if there's no enforcement on the other side to say you're taking on what's there. Right? That's what I was driving at.
Right now, it is the city's responsibility to maintain trees in the public right-of-way. He's not taking anything on. It is right now, and I assume it's complaint-driven, so that if you have a tree that's in the public right-of-way and it's causing a hazard, you're going to call and you're going to come out and trim it or...
Yeah, we would evaluate it and trim, not trim, remove, do what's necessary for that tree.
Right.
But the point is, I guess, a property owner has two trees out in the right-of-way, and that's fine, but they...
We're coming right back to you.
Okay.
All right. So with that said, if we want to talk anything more, or does anybody like to mention more, or we want to revisit Ron's motion?
Well, the thing I was going to say, I have no other concerns regarding this document. Those were the only ones that jumped out at me.
Okay.
So
until...
Me too.
I still would recommend that we have a second time for each of us to take another look at it, and then come back at our next PWAB meeting, bring our recommendations that we've just discussed forward as a formal recommendation to move forward. So that's my motion.
My second. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It's all a matter of timing, Ron.
That was a majority. All right. So the motion carries. And so there we go. We will revisit this in 2 months.
Oops, all right. We will. The motion carries. Ron's motion to postpone making recommendations till the next PWAB meeting was seconded by
Richard.
Seconded Richard, and then we will move forward. And so, please, the next meeting, come and bring your other recommendations or thoughts.
Rob, if I could ask real quick, I don't want to put an onus on your department trying to follow this, but I do hear up here a lot of people worried about the private citizenry having to take on trees in the public right of way. And if you could take a look at, in that time frame before we get back here, maybe some kind of solution that you could somehow try to quantify what happens within your right-of-way. Do you follow what I mean? Because I know where you're coming from. I've been there before. But by the same token, I hear your concerns. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Okay, with that,
we can probably bring you something, quantify, you know, what the typical costs are, and on the, is that what you're looking for?
No, I was looking more for, like, if you could think of a procedure where you may be able to somehow, either through the education aspect you brought up, somehow trying, not so much the enforce sounds like a pretty rough word, but, you know, to try and control the situation of new trees winding up in the right-of-way that you had no choice.
And alternatives to the turning it over to the private property owner?
Exactly,
yeah.
Because I see that as an issue. I really do. And I know they do it in – I know there's sidewalks in some cities. So it's up to the private homeowner to take care of their own frontage. And I'm not disagreeing with you. That does happen. However, I think that would be a tough play here.
I just want to open up our offices, too. If you're reviewing the plan and you have any questions, call Damaris or myself. We can, you know, answer those questions, and then it might help you get past something. I would still encourage you to bring those questions forward, but, you know, if it helps you understand it better, it would help us frame the discussion for next time also.
I would also like to know, have a legal opinion about the liability issue for the private citizen if this were to go through and they were to be suddenly responsible for maintenance. Who's responsible if an accident happens?
I just want to remind everyone on the board, because we do have some new members, that we do not violate the Brown Act. We cannot have a group discussion on this matter, getting together and sitting down and going over it. That is a violation of the Brown Act, so keep that in mind. We need to review this ourselves or with the city, but not as a group.
Okay.
I wanted to thank Damaris and Logan, by the way. You guys did an excellent job.
Great. And Logan, you're not off the hook yet, all right? So you're going to have to, all right? There's no going back to school. You're going to have to come back and do this again. Okay, with that, and that was our new business item, we're on to future agenda items. And our new members of the board, we are not necessarily beholden and just waiting for, we do not have to wait for just the city to bring their items that you're concerned about in terms of public works citywide. You're more than welcome to, or if there is items, you can broach them and as future agenda items.
One thing I will bring up real quick is, if you're not aware, the city is going through the process right now of getting proposals from a consultant for the first phase of the wastewater treatment plant. It's going to be happening over the next couple weeks. Were you going to be sitting on it, Janice? I noticed you were aware I was sitting on it or whatever.
No, I just
heard that. Oh, you just heard that. Okay. I thought I'd come back next time, and I'll give you an update if you're not following that, because we usually don't follow it under the JPA. The JPA meetings cover that aspect of it. But
and so in terms of this, I don't think – do we need to make Stephen an agenda item, or can he present in –
I'll just do it in the public – or the –
the announcement session.
Yes, okay. There you go.
I just want to point out
about
the Brown Act. You know, it is okay to meet in pairs to – but not in groups of three. Yes, so you can get together and discuss it in pairs. It becomes a little dangerous if